Well, as we look back over that past year, what do you see? If we were to look rather superficially, I think we would see a very conflicted world, a world where it looks out of control and determining its own future, and people don't know what to do, and things just happen because they happen because they happen, and people say things and do things, and countries and people and individuals and sickness and natural disaster, it's all there. And if we have a two-dimensional view of that, right, just looking at those events as the world looks at them, well, then we might feel without hope. We might feel as though there's no future. But as Christians, we have a three-dimensional view of the world, that we know that there's a great God there and that he's working and he's working to achieve his purposes, and there is control and order in the midst of chaos, that God has a plan, and there's a past, there's a present, and there's a future. What does the future hold for you? How do you approach the future? How did you approach the end of 2018, going into 2019? How will you approach the end of 2019, going into 2020? Well, there's lots of verses we could take from the Bible, and I've taken one, and it's in Isaiah 41:10, and it's there we see God saying to Israel. You might like to open to Isaiah. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So here's a verse of hope for Israel. The year just gone for them was 587 BC, and it was a year back then that Israel would much prefer to forget, because it was the year that the Babylonians came sweeping through. The nation was held captive and Jerusalem was plundered. Many of the citizens were taken away off into a foreign land. But Israel should have seen that coming. Prophet after prophet gave warnings. Men such as Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the prophet spoke, but the people didn't listen. So God responded as he had promised to respond back in Deuteronomy. And now the year is 587 BC, and it's a bad year, and the people wept. Of Jerusalem it is written, her foes have become her masters, her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. See, O Lord, how distressed I am. I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside the sword bereaves, inside there is only death. Friends, sin always has forward consequences. The psalmist reflects, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong, says God in Psalm 5:5. So national calamity, Israel found herself in a foreign land outside the land of promise. They weren't deserving of the promise, and they realized this, and the tears flowed. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Has God done the unthinkable? Has he actually, this time, cast off his people? Through Isaiah, God continued to speak, and through the other prophets. And this brings us to the word of comfort that we see in Isaiah 41, reading from verse 8. But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, your descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. And then comes this great promise of hope. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Here are great words for a suffering nation. The future will be better because God, in his love, offers forgiveness. Israel are God's servant, and so God will not abandon them. But friends, even words of assurance can be hard to hear in the bad times. And this is when we need the light of God's word shining into our darkness. And it may take some time, as it did for Israel, for the light to roll back the darkness, but the light will roll back the darkness. Israel learned that salvation is fully the work of God. And what they are called to do is commit their future to God, who has promised to remain with them. Well, it's been a pretty tough 12 months for many of us. If the Age newspaper were to do a review, a photo review of your past 12 months, what photos do you think would have been passing across the face of the screen? And we don't know in 2020 what's going to happen to us at all. But we have God's word, and we know God's word to be true. It gives us perspective because it gives us the background, the backstory of our two-dimensional, sinful, fragmented world. But friends, we cannot live according to God's promises if we don't know them or if we don't believe them. And when this happens, that creates disorientation and despair. See, Israel thought that they could have it each way with God. It's a tempting thing to do, you know, a foot in both kingdoms, a foot in God's kingdom, a foot in the world. Oh, if anyone were to ask you, what would you say? You would say, I am for Christ and his church. And that's a wonderful declaration. And I'm pleased that I hope we can all say that. I'm for Christ and his church. But are you for Christ and his church? Or are you in name only, living with and for Christ, but the reality might be that you are living really in exile? If Isaiah 41:10 is to be your verse, then you need to get yourself out of exile. Take ownership of the promises of God. Come to God through Christ. There is a new land, a new life, a new place for those who ask for forgiveness. Turn from your rebellion and exchange the darkness in your heart for the light of the gospel that the Spirit pours out into us. Isaiah 41:10 is not aren't promises for those outside Christ. For those outside Christ have a reason to fear the future. But for those with Christ as King, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10 is also a passage for those living in Christ, but are timid about the future. Are you timid about the future? I guess it's natural that we feel a sense of uncertainty and frailty because life is challenging. It's challenging in the doctor's surgery, in the cancer clinic. It's challenging with the heart specialist in the nursing home. It can be a hard ride. It is a hard ride. And these are God's words for you made possible through your faith in Christ. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So let's have a closer look at these verses and unpack them just a little bit more. And you'll notice the first thing that we see there is that there are two commands in the form of nots. You'll see it there in Isaiah 41:10, and it's do not fear and do not be dismayed. Do not fear, do not be dismayed, for fear and dismay are the enemies lurking within the shadows to rob us of our trust and confidence in our great God. Not those fleeting moments that strike us all, you know, not that instant dismay in uncertain situations. See, the verse here speaks of a fear and dismay, which are the common attributes of a life of unfaithfulness, of a life reliant upon self rather than reliant upon Christ. See, rather than fear and dismay, it's the promises that God makes in his word which ought to be our anchor in life. For his words and his alone give us the assurance and confidence that we need to travel through the wilderness of this world, which you've just witnessed in pictures, as we move toward our heavenly home. With the exile behind us, with our heavenly home in front of us, we are called to trust God. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. That first command, do not fear. Fear of the future is indeed something to fear. Fear and faith are never good companions. Fear is the child of doubt. Faith is a gift from God. Fear ends in failure. Faith ends up in victory. To have then a year without fear, we do well then to keep Ephesians 3:20 in mind. For Paul says that we must have a year of ever-increasing faith in him who is able to do abundantly more than what we could ever ask or think. As we learn to trust God, as we mature, fear will be expelled from our lives. And one of the traditions at Harvard University is senior class chapel, and they have one for those senior students just about to leave the university, and the minister offers words of consolation and comfort. In 1998, the Reverend Peter Gnomes was the chaplain there, and he took no prisoners as he began his farewell speech to the students who were leaving. And he said, "This is Harvard, you know, the great university, Harvard." And he said to them, "You are going to be sent out of here for good, and most of you aren't ready to go. The president is about to bid you into the fellowship of educated men and women. And he paused and he said these words very slowly for emphasis, "You know just how dumb you really are." It's the Harvard students. You know what? The senior class cheered in encouragement. They knew he was right. And worse than that, Reverend Gnomes went on to say, "The world and your parents in particular are going to expect that you will be among the brightest and the best. But you know that you can no longer fool all the people, even some of the time. By noontime today, you'll be out of here. By tomorrow, you will be history. By Saturday, you will be toast." That's a fact. No excuses, no extensions. Nevertheless, he said, there is one reason for hope. The future is God's gift to you. God will not let you stumble or fall. God has not brought you this far to this place to abandon you or to leave you here alone and afraid. The God of Israel never stumbles, never sleeps. He never goes on sabbatical. Thus, my beloved and bewildered young friends, do not be afraid. Friends, God has not brought you this far in your lives to let you stumble and fall. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Put your trust in him. Well, the second command is do not be dismayed. Now, there are many ways that we can become dismayed, whether it's looking at the world around us or looking at our own past or even looking within us as we regurgitate our own character. When we look at the world around us, it's easy to become perplexed. There's always disheartening things happening. The year seems to be filled with it. You know, internationally, domestically, Tamworth, in our lives, it just seems to go on and on and on. You know, well-known people are dying. It's happening all the time. You know, the world stage, the droughts, the bushfires, young lives lost on the road. We can easily become dismayed when we look back over our past failings. It's so easy to churn up the past and feel inadequate and depressed as we relive those things we prefer to forget. But as guilty, perhaps, as we may have been at times, these failings have been dealt with on the cross. And we must learn to leave them behind, because on account of the cross, we are forgiven. God has not brought you this far to let you stumble and fall. Do not be dismayed. Put your trust in him. But on what grounds can God say that? Do not fear, do not be dismayed. What's his basis for saying that? How can we believe him? Well, the answer's there, again, in Isaiah 41:10. You'll see it there. Do not fear. Why? For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, our verse says, for I am your God. We do not fear because we know that God promises to be with us. We do not give in to dismay because God is our God and he will see us through the rough times. And so convinced was the Apostle Paul of this, and we've looked and worked through Acts and we know the sort of life that he lived. And yet Paul was able to say at the end of Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else, he says, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We do not fear, and we are not dismayed, because the God who loves us is ever present with us. Then Isaiah tells us how God stands beside us. Look at verse 10 again. It's there. There's so much in this verse. It contains three I wills. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Here are the promises that God makes. Not promises that our life next year will be prosperous and joyful and always happy and not without challenges and you'll just have plenty of money and throw through life and always come to church with a smile on your face because the last week was so wonderfully good. These are the promises that God makes to his people, especially in our time of pain and suffering. For the cross disarms powers and principalities. We have nothing left to fear because there is nothing left to fear. There is nothing more that can overthrow us. At the cross, death was rendered powerless. Christ gave up his spirit to be our comforter, our helper, and our strength. And he will uphold us until that last and wonderful day when the last trumpet sounds. The spirit strengthens us, as Paul prays in Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. A little girl and her father were returning from the funeral of their dearly beloved mother and wife. It was a sad occasion. And some kind neighbours invited them to spend a few days with them so they wouldn't be alone in the house, you know, with all the sad memories that would be there. But the father decided it was best that they go home. And that night, the father placed the little girl's bed next to his, but as you'd expect, neither could fall asleep. Finally, the child said, "Daddy, it's dark. I can't see you, but you're there, aren't you?" "Yes, dear, Daddy's here. Right next to you. Go to sleep." And the little one finally dropped off to sleep. And in the darkness and depth of his sorrow, the father in tears said aloud, "O Heavenly Father, it's so dark and my heart is overflowing with sorrow, but you're there, aren't you?" And immediately there came into his mind a passage from the prophet Isaiah. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Well, you know, there's only 361 days to Christmas. In the meantime, the Lord says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. To have a year without fear or dismay, we should not look around us, nor dwell in the past, nor navel gaze within. Rather, we should look up to the cross of Christ. For only through Christ can we know a God who is the source of all strength and comfort. So look up, for God reigns, and he will lead you into a deeper experience of his love and power. Look up, for in the storms of life, he will be there to sustain you and guide you in the way of his peace. Look up, for our salvation is secure in the one who saved us, the one who died for us. Jesus reigns, and death has been conquered. So let's together have a faithful, happy new year. Let's pray. Father, you give us the words of life. And as we contemplate a new year, we thank you for this verse from Isaiah, that where you encourage us not to fear, not to be dismayed, for you will strengthen us, you will help us, you will uphold us, because you are here with us. And Father, while the year ahead might be unknown, this promise is not unknown. And so, Father, help us to grow in our understanding and commitment to what you have done for us. We thank you for the wonderful expanse of the cross of Christ, for the great hope of the resurrection. And that, Father, whatever we face this year, in all its pain, in its agony perhaps, Father, we know that nothing will overcome, that whether in life, in sickness or in death, we are the victors because we are united to your Son, and in him we have the victory. Amen.